This is CBS News.
WQUN, good morning. It's 8:40, 20 minutes away from 9 o'clock. First day of the month of June. Fellowship Place in New Haven is quite an organization. If you've ever heard about it, and I know many of you and many of our listeners have from time to time, heard about Fellowship Place. It's a place that's right there on Elm Street that we should tell you a little bit more about. Our executive director from the organization, Mary Guerrero, is joining us here, and also a gentleman who's going to be putting on a one-man play, Michael Mack, a Connecticut premiere of his one-man play, about his mother's mental illness, hearing voices speaking in tongues. And Michael is joining us here via phone. He'll be here in New Haven coming up June 11th, when this will be performed at the Whitney's Humanities Center at Yale University. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to WQUN.
Good morning, Ray. Thanks for having me on the morning show.
Absolutely. And also, Mary, it's good to have you here. Mary Guerrero, the executive director of Fellowship Place.
Hello, Ray. It's great to be here.
Mary, I'm going to start with you if I can, because I want people to understand if you can describe what Fellowship Place does.
Fellowship Place is a nonprofit agency, and we provide a very broad range of services to help people who suffer from a chronic mental illness get back into society and lead more meaningful and productive lives. We are open 365 days a year, 7 days a week, from about 7 in the morning until about 8 at night. And if you come onto our campus down on Elm Street in New Haven at any time of the day, you'll see just all kinds of activities going on, anywhere from art therapy to cooking classes to exercise classes, one-on-one counseling, group counseling. We also have supported housing, which is next door to the campus for people who need a safe and affordable place to live. It's just really a very unique and very dynamic place that works to help people who are mentally ill structure their day and meet other people who are experiencing the same kinds of challenges that they are.
Yeah, and what's remarkable is I think you provide not just a haven, but sort of a transitional anchor, if you will, for folks in our community who have gone on from Fellowship Place, actually, and as their condition is stabilized through medication, through counseling, even if they've overcome the ravages of addiction, they've gone on from Fellowship Place to very productive and good lives.
We, our goal is to help people be as independent and as productive as possible. So one of the things that we try to do is to help people find jobs, help people go back to school, and we have a lot of work activities on campus that serve as sort of a first step for people who haven't had a lot of opportunities to work, but as they gain confidence and gain some skills from jobs that they do on our campus, they move on to jobs in the community. And we've had people that have been hired at the hospital, at Walmart, at Rite Aid, at local restaurants. Many of the artists who began doing art through our art therapy program have gone on to show art at art galleries in the city of New Haven, but also in New York and in Chicago, and many of them sell art. So yeah, we have a lot of really positive stories like that.
Yeah, and the art is spectacular. I've seen it. It's really tremendous. Now, coming up June 11th, Michael Mack will be here. This is a one-man play, so Michael, you're the one man.
I'm the guy, yeah.
Yeah, you're here. Now, this is a story that I think that most people would have great difficulty telling. It's about schizophrenia, and it's about your mother's mental illness. Tell us about how you put together Hearing Voices, Speaking in Tongues.
Well, it all began with my mother, who was diagnosed with schizophrenia when I was 5, and as you can imagine, it brought a tremendous amount of change to her and to everybody in the family, and I began writing about it as a kind of happy accident. I was a student at MIT. I was in the management science program, had every expectation about going out into the world of business on graduation, and I took a poetry class for elective credit. I figured, should be an easy A, right?
Yeah.
And pretty soon I found myself writing about my mother and our life together, and my teachers saw something that they wanted to encourage. So I was so enthused by this new vehicle for talking about things I had kept largely to myself that ultimately I ended up switching out of the management science program and into MIT's writing program and graduating with a degree in writing, in creative writing. And that's really where it all started.
I don't think many people who have not been touched by mental illness in their family can comprehend really the stages of what you go through as a person who loves someone, a spouse, a mother, a father. From the age of five, you're a young lad when your mother is diagnosed, so you really kind of grew up in this environment.
Oh, I did indeed. And what you were saying about not many people understanding, I would suggest that maybe more people understand than most of us think.
Yeah.
One in every five families has a family member with a major mental illness. And so it's an illness that touches many of us. And so I feel as though when I do the play, I'm doing the play for a whole lot of folks.
Yeah, and they understand. And that's what's beautiful about it. Now, your personal experiences with your mother in terms of her diagnosis and schizophrenia, what was life like? What did you encounter that was probably something that was a little bit of a challenge for you?
Well, I think my dad said it best. He said that he never knew what he would come home to. And I think it was true for all of us. I remember coming home one afternoon when I was in second grade, I think, and my mother meeting me in the living room, taking me up to my bedroom and opening the door, and it was complete chaos. She had taken all my stuff and just piled it into the center of the room. And I was completely baffled by that, as you might imagine, but her impulse behind it was actually loving. She wanted to teach me how to clean up my room, and so we spent the rest of the afternoon cleaning up. And even though I felt pretty unsettled by what was happening, I also had the sense that I was loved, that she was giving me a whole lot of attention. So that's just the kind of example of the dynamic, yeah.
Yeah, now you mentioned your father and you mentioned your mother. How many were in your family, Michael?
I'm the oldest of four kids, so we were a family of six. Mm-hmm. And I do perform in the play most of the characters in the family, my mother, my father, myself as an adult, myself as a child, and a few other characters as well. A clinician makes an appearance from time to time in the play, and even Frank Sinatra. My mom was a big fan of Sinatra's, so he shows up briefly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Sinatra has alluded to the fact that he might have been manic depressive. He had great outbursts almost elation in his music career, and then the depths of despair. He just had this great range of feeling, which contributed, of course, to his great music.
Well, I think I'm not surprised to hear that. That history and literature is rife with examples of extremely talented people who were also facing the challenges of mental illness. And I think that the artistic streak, the streak of brilliance and creativity can accompany mental illness. John Nash, the brilliant mathematician who was portrayed in A Beautiful Mind, is one example.
Now, in your family, who has seen this performance in your family, and what have they thought about your portrayal?
Well, I'm pleased to say that everybody in the family has been very supportive. My dad's seen it three times. My brother's seen it twice. Everybody's seen it at least once, with the sad exception of my mother. She passed away before I had that opportunity. My dream for years was that I would do the play, and then at the very end she would come out and take a bow, because it really celebrates her life and her recovery. But sadly, cancer took her before that could happen in 2002.
Well, I'm sad to hear that, and I know that your performance here on June 11th, the Benefit Fellowship Place, will be as received as it is by many of these reviews. I mean, you have terrific reviews from the Boston Globe, National Public Radio, other outlets have just said it's exquisite, heartbreaking. They used some great adjectives to describe hearing voices speaking in tongues. Now, there are going to be tickets, and we'll tell you how you can get them here, $35 in a Benefit Fellowship Place right here. It'll be at the Whitney's Humanities Center, right on Wall Street, New Haven, on the evening of June June 11th, a week from this coming Thursday. You can log on to fellowshipplace.org, or you can call 401-4227. You can ask for extension 111. Just put up three fingers. That's 401-4227. And there's going to be a panel discussion, Mary Greer, afterwards. We have some panelists along with Michael Mack.
That's right. After the play, we will have a panel that includes Dr. William Sledge, who is the interim chair and professor of psychiatry at Yale University, Alice Forrester, who is a PhD drama therapist and art therapist, and also executive director of the Clifford Beers Child Guidance Clinic in New Haven, and Tony Dorfman, who is director of undergraduate theater studies at Yale. Tony is also a family member of someone who suffers from a serious mental illness. We are absolutely delighted at Fellowship Place to be able to sponsor Michael's performance at Yale on June 11th. The play has performed all over the country. This is the first time that it's been to Connecticut. And this is part of our Albert Solnit Lecture Series, which is a education series that Fellowship sponsors every year. And our goal is to honor Dr. Solnit's memory. He was an eminent psychiatrist from Yale and former director of the Yale Child Study Center and also commissioner of the State Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Our goal simply is to educate people about mental illness. The saddest thing about mental illness is how little people know about it, how little they understand about it, and we think that we want to do away with stigma and encourage people who have a problem with mental illness to go out and get help, and we think that vehicles like Michael's play is one of the best ways to do that.
So put it on your calendar. It's June 11th, a week from Thursday, 7 o'clock, Whitney's Humanities Center. Again, the number for the tickets is 401-4227, or you can log on the website, fellowshipplace.org. Hearing voices, speaking in tongues. Michael Mack, God bless. We'll see you here June 11th.
All right, sir. Looking forward to seeing you all.
Thank you so much. Mary Greer, Executive Director of Fellowship Place. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Ray.